ليتك دوما قريب، ليتك دوما قريب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is He who has sent His apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, where welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's episode of the program Viewpoints, we want to talk about the topic of the month of Ramadan. What are the practical guidelines if we want to make the most or benefit the most from the month of Ramadan? Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. What are the practical guidelines if we want to make the most in the holy month of Ramadan?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I think the first practical guideline that we can be benefited by it or make use of it is this, that in this holy month of Ramadan, we can control our evil desires practically.
Okay.
This is what we are in need of it in the whole life, because fasting in this holy month is not only to refrain ourselves from eating and drinking. Rather, in this holy month, we have to, for example, try to control our eyes, to control our tongue, to control our ears. For example, to control our tongue, not to, for example, spread gossip, not to lie, not to backbite, not to curse, not to use bad languages, bad words, for example.
Yes.
So this is a kind of a practice that this holy month we try to control as much as possible, to control our tongue. Or to control, for example, our eyes, not to see, not to watch any, for example, each and everything, any, for example, wrong things. Not to, for example, hear, not to listen to the wrong things, for example, or the forbidden things. And so, if you want to control all those things, first of all, if we control ourselves not to eat, not to drink, it enables us, it gives us more energy to control other, let's say, organs, other things in our soul, yes, in our body. That is the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is that when you are hungry during the day,
yes,
so from social perspective, you would think more about the other poor and the poor and the needy.
Yes.
So it tells you that you must always be thinking about the other people. You must try to help to support them.
Yes.
So socially, it is also very much helpful.
Beneficial.
And useful and beneficial. Okay. And the other point that can be mentioned is this, that in this holy month, actually, you try to unite your your nation.
No.
Again, okay, from political perspective, from social perspective. When you see that all Muslims from all over the globe, they are fasting in this holy month.
Yes.
Makes no difference whether you are like poor or, let's say, rich, where you are, for example, which race you belong to, that, which language you speak, which culture, which nation you are. All of you are fasting.
Yes.
It means that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all the same.
Yes.
It gives us a very beautiful feelings.
Yes.
That we are united.
Okay.
Muslim ummah, Muslim nation are united. And also it gives us a very good message to the enemies,
yes,
of Muslims.
Okay.
That you see, look, Muslims are united. Mm-hmm. Because the more you are united, the more you are powerful, the more you are, yes, strong. And also, it gives us a very, let's say, beautiful kind of spiritual feelings in this holy month.
Okay.
Because all the people, particularly the enemies of Muslims, know that, you know, they are enjoying that spirituality.
Yes.
This is spirituality that we have, that we experience, that we, yes, enjoy in this holy month. It is, again, a very kind of the most important benefit.
Yes.
That we can get from the holy month of Ramadan.
Unfortunately, when you Google Ramadan or the holy month of Ramadan, for example, you search it on the website or YouTube, the first thing that comes to the scene is the Ramadan food. Okay? I mean, as you said, the spiritual aspect is really important and more important than the, for example, the cultures and the customs all around the world. But the case is that, for example, in order to introduce the holy month of Ramadan to the world, some people are focusing mostly on the national custom rather than the spiritual Islamic ones. Fortunately, in some countries, for example, we have iftar break during the football matches and competitions. They have iftar break. Unfortunately, France has banned iftar break. And this is a disgrace for a country that talks about democracy, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Sheikh Fadai, what are your practical guidelines to make the most from the month of Ramadan?
You know, as you mentioned, unfortunately, gradually the real aspects of religion is getting forgotten.
Yes.
For example, Ramadan, even if we consider the material part, we should focus on not eating, but we focus on eating.
Yes. Okay.
What to eat in Sahar and what to eat in Iftar.
Okay.
This was not important. God, yeah, wanted us not to eat. Stop eating.
Yes.
In order to feel how the poor people feel.
Very
in
good.
Order to feel Qiyamah. But usually we get to forget the real aspect. If we want to understand the real aspects of Ramadan in order to get the most out of it, we can say there is a positive aspect and a negative aspect. The positive one is to go toward guidance and hidayah.
Yes.
And the negative one is to come back and not to go toward zilalah, or the way of battle.
Yes.
The first one we can see in Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse 185, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran.
Yes.
So what does it mean? It means that in Ramadan, God wanted us to focus on Quran, not the food. So why? Why is it? Because Quran is the book of guidance. God wants us to walk on the way of guidance.
Yes.
So in all societies, if you want to be successful, people get around each other, gather, and try to make a lot of rules for people in that society, in that country.
Yes.
So by that rules, they try to make their society successful. So we have a book of rules, complex of rules called Quran.
Yes.
And in Quran, we can see the verse, أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى غُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهُ. It means it's not just matter of reciting. We recite Quran in Ramadan, but we do not ponder on the verses. Mm. So when Quran is focused in Ramadan, it is not the matter of reciting. We should ponder on that in order to get the way of guidance.
Although the mere recitation has its own rewards.
Yeah, of course, it has the rewards. Yes, yes. But at the first rank.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yes, this is the positive aspect. Yes. And the negative, I don't mean negative, I don't mean the bad one.
Okay.
Negative mean not to go towards the Lala. The other part, we can see in Hadith the reason of calling this month Ramadan.
Yes. Okay.
We have إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الرَّمَضَانُ لَأَنَّهُ يَرْمَضُ الذُّنُوبُ.
Yes.
It means this month burns the sins.
Yes.
So it means please come back from the way of Zalala.
Yes.
How we can remember our sins, our faults, so by repentance, we can get back from that.
Okay.
We have a lot of du'as like Joshan Kabir, like Abu Hamza.
Yes.
In these du'as, we can see the real way of repentance.
Yes.
So how can we get back from the wrong way that we went?
The daily du'as of the month of Ramadan, 30 du'as that we have, all of them, are rooted, for example, in asking for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all right.
So we understand how to walk toward the way of haq by reciting Quran, pondering on that.
Yes.
And we understand how to get back from the way of battle by repentance and tawbah.
Yes.
And we can use these all du'as.
Yes, that's all right. Okay. But Sheikh Rouhani, Ramadan is 1 month, okay? This is the most loved month by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? So when this is the most loved month by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to keep the spirit of Ramadan during all the other 11 months of the year too. And I think we have a very beautiful hadith by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. I think that that the first month of the calendar of a Muslim is the month of Ramadan. We know that lunar calendar starts with the month of Muharram. But how is it that Imam says, for example, it is the month of Ramadan? Because it shows the significance of this month for a Muslim. How to keep the spirit of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan is finished? I mean, keeping it alive, keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive in our hearts.
Yes, as you rightly mentioned, the holy month of Ramadan is the most beloved month for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is termed as Shahrullah al-Akbar.
Yes.
Our life is a purposeful life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a purpose behind the creation of the whole universe, particularly the human beings. So what is that purpose of life? Is to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The holy month of Ramadan is the best month because of what? Because it helps us in the best possible way to get more and more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in each night, in each sahar that we start fasting, we say that we perform fasting qurbatan ilallah. Qurba comes from taqarrub. Taqarrub means to get closer to something, nearness to something.
Yes.
Why we say that? Because in this holy month, we try our best to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
You know, that is why if in the holy month, we practically try our best to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that in the rest of the months, we should continue this practice.
Yes.
We should try our best to be in a way that we are always getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more you get away far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that you go closer and closer to shaitan.
Yes, yes.
You know? Then your life becomes like a dark life.
Yes.
You know? That's why this month is termed as the spring.
Yes.
Because in the spring, your heart, your soul is enlightened.
Yes.
By the divine light of this month. And since your heart is enlightened by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the heavenly light that you receive in this holy month, then of course it actually helps you to continue the way.
So spiritually, you're always fresh.
Yeah, of course.
Spiritually, you're always fresh.
That's why
in the past time, you could see that, for example, the Ahlul Bayt and then the Ulama used to keep fasting during the whole years, okay? Although Rajab, Shaban, and Ramadan has own significance, but most of the time of the years they were fasting. This is, as you said, in order to keep, that's right, the spirit of fasting.
Fresh.
Yes, and fresh, spiritually speaking. Okay, so when Ramadan is done, Shaykh Fadai, what are your suggestions to keep it alive in our heart and souls? Because most of the time the people, then they have, for example, the celebration of Eid al-Fitr or something like that. But and day by day, gradually, they get back to the old track of life, okay? The old, we can say, routine track of life. How to be away from them?
You know, we can make an example. For example, if a person wants to lose weight, uh-huh, or if an athlete wants to become a champion, what does he or she do?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, he starts to have a special schedule for himself, not to eat a lot, I don't know, and practice in the gym, lift weights a lot. But after a special schedule at the beginning, does it stop every program? Or after the championship, does it stop to go to the gym and practice? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
First, the one who wants to lose weight or the one who wants to be a champion, first they try a lot, special practicing.
Yes.
But then they continue because they have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
If we understand that by Ramadan, we have a goal.
Yes.
The goal, as my brother mentioned, is to get close to God. We do not stop this walking on this way.
Yes.
So how is it possible? So what do we do in Ramadan? Usually we just focus on eating.
Okay, okay.
What we do in Ramadan, okay, as I told you, is to recite Quran and ponder and think about the verses.
Yes.
And recite some du'as.
Yes.
The best way is to continue at least the recitation,
yes,
of these,
yes,
verses and du'as. At,
yes,
least the recitation.
Okay.
Not as much as we do in Ramadan. For,
yes,
example, in Ramadan, we do our best to recite one juz, one part,
yes,
in one day. So no problem.
Okay.
Not one juz. At least one page.
Mm-hmm.
No, at least just half of a page in other days of months and years. And about du'as, at least we can recite some du'as after our prayers just for 1 or 2 minutes.
That's right.
And in Ramadan, we can we hear a lot that this is a party.
Yes.
Some people say, what kind of party is that?
Okay.
We cannot eat, we cannot drink.
Mm-hmm.
What party is that? The party is the blessing that God wants to give us. So we receive this blessing. If it's so joyful for us, we don't stop it. We try to get more. Why,
yes,
not?
That's all right. And we know that according to so many interpretations, we have three types of fasting. The one is the Aam, the general people banned from eating and drinking. You know, and the Khas, and Khas al-Khas, okay? So the third one, which is the highest rank of fasting for the Muslims, has a special rank. So it shows that even fasting has its own levels,
yeah,
and has its own status for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the fasting of Khas al-Khas, you have nothing in your heart and soul but the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your eyes, your ears, your organs of the body, you know, are banned from doing any kind of sin or pseudo-sin. I mean, something even close to sin.
And there is a beautiful hadith about what you said from,
yes,
Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha. She says, "Ma yasna'u as-sa'imu bi-siyamihi idha lam yasun lisanah wa sam'ah wa basarah wa jawarah." It means, what is the benefit of fasting when it's just not eating? When I do not consider my tongue, my ears, all the organs, because we can commit sins by all our organs.
Yes.
If I don't stop my organs,
mm-hmm,
from committing sin,
yes,
what is the benefit of fasting? It means that the first level of fasting, we cannot call it fasting,
okay,
as she says.
Yes,
it,
yes,
is not a real fasting.
Yes.
It's just the beginning. Not eating is the beginning of the way to walk on this way.
Okay. Thank you much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration on the holy month of Ramadan and how to benefit the most from this month. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Call of Islam PhD. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. All of us have made mistakes and committed sins out of ignorance and submission to Satan's temptations. But very few are aware of our sins. God has assigned the material creation of human beings in a way that you cannot know the inward of persons through their outward. This conceals our sins and evil traits from others. We enjoy God's bounties but disobey His orders. According to God's justice, we should face the comeuppance and be disgraced before the near ones. Yet, God does not defame us as far as we do not defame ourselves. This is a clear manifestation of God's being the coverer of flaws and defects. But we should be scared of the day on which, according to an ayah, the guilty will be recognized by their marks. Dua Iftitah is a supplication to remind various bounties of God, which we often neglect. One of these bounties is the fact that God covers up our sins and flaws. Most of us commit sins, but God does not expose them to others. In a part of this supplication, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, says, "All praise belongs to Allah, who answers when I call Him, and covers every imperfection while I disobey Him, and has bestowed upon me great bounties while I do not thank Him. How many a sweet bounty that He has given me! Allah has given us innumerable bounties such as possessions, health, children, and reputation, but we are not able to thank Him. However, the best bounties are the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. Allah has sent these sacred beings to guide us to the right path. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said to the Ummah in the last days of his life, 'I am leaving behind two invaluable things among you, which, if you obey them, you will never go astray. The Book of God and my progeny, the Ahlul Bayt. So see how you will treat them. They will never be separated from each other until they join me at the pond of Kothar in paradise. Yes, the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, including Hazrat Fatima, Imam Ali, and their children, have an inseparable bond with the Quran. The blessed month of Ramadan is the month of friendship with the Quran, so it is the month of friendship with the Ahlul Bayt. The Noble Quran is the right path, and the Ahlul Bayt are also the right path. The Ahlul Bayt are the great bounty which God has given us, and we cannot thank Him for this bounty. The right of every bounty will be compensated when we use it for the purpose that it has been created. For instance, God has created food and drink so that we remove hunger and thirst and get force to work and worship Him. But if a person is engaged in gluttony, he has indeed wasted God's bounties and will get sick. God has chosen and sent a prophet and his progeny to guide us. The right of these sacred leaders on us is to follow them. They are the intermediaries between God and his servants. Imam Mahdi is the last one of these leaders. And many a horrible event that you guarded me against, and astonishing joy that you showed me. So I call him Allah in praise and remember him while glorify him. It was what Imam Mahdi said in continuation of Dua Iftitah. If we have a look at our past, we will notice so many dangers and precipices that God has saved us from. Nevertheless, misguidance and deviation is the most horrible precipice. Here, it is only the infallible leader who can take our hand and save us from falling. After salvation from deviation, God has caused us taste the joy of His proximity and has put such a pleasure in worship that nothing can be equal to it. So we can only say, all praise belongs to God. We should glorify God and remember His greatness. We should never neglect that He has power over all things and His knowledge encompasses everything and everywhere.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are trying to look at the trait of shukr, being grateful and thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has given us. One of these blessings that Allah has given us is the ability to be thankful in the first place. And we said being thankful, it means that we have to give back from that which we have been given. Many people around us that we see in the world, they are not in this mindset where they need to give back and help their fellow human beings and try to help other people and come to their needs, or even have compassion or have empathy towards anyone. Now, as human beings, the more we get in touch of, you know, with this dunya and with the material world, the more we will derail from the path and move from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further and further. And the more we move further away from Allah, the more we become bad to His servants, to His creation. So it is vital that me and you understand the concept of shukr and also try to apply it. So how does one become amongst those who are shakirin, those who are grateful, those who have gratitude towards that which Allah gives? One is at-tafakkur, and that's pretty much the key to everything, is to think, to contemplate about the ni'am, the blessings that Allah has given us, which sometimes we seem to forget. Every time we wake up, we don't realize what kind of blessings that Allah has given us. You wake up, you automatically being given another day. That's a blessing. You've been given the blessings of ni'mah, of life, the pleasure of life itself. You lived another day. You have a healthy body. You have a roof over your head. You have kids and you have children. You have parents. Where millions, if not billions of people around the world don't have what you have. So we need to be thankful, don't we? But sometimes that will never cross our minds. We wake up thinking that everything that there is and everything that we have is only because we made it possible. And obviously this is how the shaitan wants me and you to think. Now, in order for us to be amongst those who give thanks and gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to begin by ourselves, and we begin with thought, contemplation, and thinking. So there's a process that needs to go through my mind. I need to change things around and see it in a different light, that I see everything around me, everything I have, wherever I am, it is nothing but blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take a short break and then we will come back, inshallah.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Another thing that we have to keep in mind when it comes to trying to become grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we need to stop looking at other people. Because sometimes we make it a habit that we're always comparing ourselves to others. Those who have wealth, those who have riches, those who have cars and houses and spouses. We're constantly wanting to be like them. And that kind of look, it actually makes us not only not neglect Allah and not be grateful for what we have, but it will make us complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you don't need to say it verbally, but this is what your hal, this is what your status is saying, that I am not happy with whatever I have. Allah hasn't given me what I need. So you see that you're obviously going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. So when we stop looking at those above us and we start to look at the ones below us, then the mind will change. The mindset will change. So instead of looking at rich people, look at the poor ones. How many poor people who don't have nothing at all? Now, sometimes I look at myself like, I haven't got much money. But when I say I don't have much money, at least I have like a couple of $100 in my pocket, to say the least. But obviously when I compare myself to those above me, I see myself poor. But at the same time, at least I have a house, I have this. I might be struggling because life is about struggle. Maybe I have to pay rent, I have to pay bills, maybe I'm behind on my rent. But if I look at those who are under me, who have absolutely nothing, then the picture changes. So we need to look at the people under us, not the people above us. If we constantly keep looking up, we will never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look down, then we will be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we can see the ni'am, the blessings that I have, that other people don't have. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah says in a hadith, وَكْثَرْ أَن تَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضُّلْتَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الرَّزْقِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَبْوَابَ الشُّكْرِ. Always, constantly, continuously, look at the people that you were given a higher priority, or at least privilege above. And that is a door of shukr, a door of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter who you are, no matter what you have, you will always have something that someone else does not have. Even if a person was poor and he has no money, and he was homeless living in the streets, but he would at least have something that maybe someone else does not have. Shukr. They say that Musa alayhi salam was asked to see the most thankful and grateful person. Allah says to him, go this place and you'll find a person sitting there. Musa goes there, he finds a person who was blind. He could not walk, if I remember correctly. And he couldn't do much. And that man, all he can do is say thanks and praise to Allah. So Musa said to him, old man, what are you thanking Allah for? He have nothing. He can't walk. He can't see. He can't do anything. And the man said to him, Allah has given me a tongue that is grateful, that supplicates to him. That itself is a ni'mah. What we need to do is always look at the people below us so we can develop this sense of shukr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala ar-rasul wa ali an-nabiyil 'azim.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. You are listening to Lantern, and we have a new story, Ibrahim's advice against disobedience. A man came to Ibrahim and said, "I'm unable to control myself. Please give me something to help me with it." "If you accept five conditions," said Ibrahim, "and are able to put them into practice, your disobedience will not cause you any problem. Just tell me what they are," the man said. "The first is that when you want to disobey Allah, you do not eat anything He provides." "Then how will I get anything to eat?" "Everything on the earth is from Him. So it is right to eat His provision and disobey Him at the same time," replied Ibrahim. "No, it is not. What is the second condition?" "When you want to disobey him, move off his land." "This is even more difficult," exclaimed the man. "In that case, where will I live? Is it right to eat his provision and live on his land and then to disobey him?" asked Ibrahim. "No, it is not." "What is the third condition?" "When you want to disobey him in spite of eating his provision and living on his land, find a place where he will not see you and disobey him there." "What do you mean, Ibrahim?" "He knows everything that happens, even in the most hidden places." "So is it right to disobey him when you eat his provision and live on his land and when you know that he can see everything you do?" "It's certainly not," the man replied. "Tell me the fourth condition." "That's when the angel of death arrives to take your soul. You say to him, 'Give me a reprieve so that I can repent and act righteously for Allah.' but he won't listen to me, then if you cannot ward off death long enough to give yourself time to repent, and you know that when it comes there will be no reprieve, how can you hope to be saved? What is the fifth? That when the angels of the fire come to you to take you to the fire, you do not go with them. They will take me whether I like it or not, exclaimed the man. So, how can you hope to be saved? Enough, enough, Ibrahim. I ask Allah's forgiveness and I turn to Him.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to another episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to read some stories and then talk about the moral themes and lessons that can be utilized in the everyday life of a Muslim. Today, our topic is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that regard, I must say that no matter how small disobedience be, it is significant in the evaluation of the conduct of a Muslim. However, not all the sins are equal. Some sins such as lying and backbiting are considered more obscene and have higher severity in punishment assigned to them. Likewise, the time of the sin, the place the sin is committed, the intention of the sinner who committed the sin, their knowledge or ignorance with this regard, insistence upon its commitment or otherwise, these are all factors that have got implications. Imam Ali alayhi salam stated about the level of the sins, أشد الذنوب ما استخف به صاحبه. The worst of the sins is one that considered small or light. Despite the fact that some sins have been condemned to a higher level and some in a lower mode, some factors and conditions will change minor sins to major ones. These factors are consistency in the committing of minor sins, considering the sin minor or light, feeling of joy or satisfaction while committing the sin out of rebellion, or making one's sins apparent to others. Well, about different kind of sins committed by human beings, according to the Holy Book of Quran, some sins are more severe while others are slighter. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة. Those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, only committing slight ones. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. Surah An-Najm, verse number 32. Every sin is referred as an immorality, such as adultery. You see that in accordance to this verse, the term slight ones or lemem has got different meanings. The first meaning is sins that are heedless and not consistently committed, or it might refer to sins that have been decided upon but not acted on, or sins that have been committed but then forgiveness and repentance is sought for. Another interpretation could be referring to those sins that have not had a punishment assigned to them. Okay, let's have a short break and we'll be back in no time.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back, dear audience. We were talking about disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and different types of sins. Now let's see what reasons are so strong for human beings to disobey their Lord. There are many reasons that may seem logical for the sinners as they are committing sin. the most important of which is ignorance. Learning knowledge and knowing what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what angers him prevents a person from engaging with what angers him. Ignorance of the consequence is often a reason for committing sin. The person thinks that it is a simple sin while it is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Book of Quran, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ, and thought it was insignificant for you while it was in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tremendous. Surah An-Nur, verse number 15. Among the reasons, as well as it is the most serious one, is following desires and obeying one's own evil self, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in his saying, إِنَّ نَفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةَ بِالسُّءِ, indeed the soul is a persistent enjoyer of evil. Hence, one who goes against his desires and strives against his own evil self and does not obey, it is the successful one. In that regards, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. But as for he who feared the position of his Lord and prevented the soul from unlawful inclination, then indeed paradise will be his or her refuge. Surah An-Nazi'at, verses number 40 and 41. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a warm welcome to Africa Today, a program that takes you on a journey through Africa. We cover wide-ranging current affairs in the continent and also highlight various aspects of the continent's rich history, culture, and civilization. In our program today, we are focusing on how African nations are resisting increasing attempts by the Israeli regime to infiltrate the continent. Governments in Africa, particularly through the African Union, are now joining the masses in rejecting the Israeli apartheid regime, which continues to occupy Palestine and commit atrocities against Palestinians. So stay with us.
Africa resisting Israeli apartheid regime. At the opening ceremony of the African Union's annual summit, held at its headquarters in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia last February, the Israeli apartheid regime faced a nasty surprise and total humiliation. The deputy director of the Africa division of the regime's foreign ministry was ejected after gate crashing at the summit.
This ejection of the Israeli diplomat from the African Union summit is indicative of how Africa is resisting brazen attempts by the Israeli regime to infiltrate the continent and meddle in its internal affairs. Speaking after the fiasco, African Union Commission Chairman Moussa Faki Mahamat told reporters in very simple terms that the Israeli diplomat was not invited and was therefore asked to leave the hall.
That somebody entered the hall with a badge. We asked the individual to quickly leave the hall.
On demandait de quitter les lieux.
And now to discuss how African countries are resisting the Israeli apartheid regime, we contacted Bukangesa, a member of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement. We are also joined by Zakir Ahmed Mait, a lawyer, activist, and political analyst. Gentlemen, welcome to the program, and let's start off with Mr. Ngesa. Now, despite being suspended by the African Union. The Israeli regime sent a delegation which was ejected from the AU summit last February. Now, why is a regime adamant on imposing itself on African countries?
The Israel apartheid regime is not just an anti-Palestine, it is also a very racist regime. And in fact, their policy towards African continent has been a policy of outright bribery and disrespect to the African people. In fact, even if you look at the way their observer mission was being admitted to the AU, it was a unilateral decision by the chair of the AU. So for them to refuse even to accept their suspension and arrogantly send their representative there to be humiliated, I think they deserved even more humiliation. After all, what is more humiliation than the continued butchering of the Palestinian women and children, and even breaking all the international laws? I think the apartheid regime in Israel that has occupied Palestine has even no moral authority to question any African country about that humiliation, because the administration in that is run by the Zionists under the government of now the current, of course, crisis Netanyahu, the butcher of the Palestinian people, are actually, they break all the international laws. And even in Africa, they don't respect the way the majority of the African people think.
The African Union insists that the Israeli regime's observer status at the 55-nation bloc has been suspended. Many African nations view Israel as a colonizer that does not deserve to be an observer member of the African Union. South African Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Naledi Pandor, says the unjust actions committed by Israel are contrary to the letter and spirit of the African Union.
The unjust actions committed by Israel offend the letter and spirit, as we have pointed out, of the Charter of the African Union. The African Union embodies the aspirations of all Africans and reflects their confidence that it can lead the continent through the practical expression of the goals of the Charter, especially on issues related to self-determination and decolonization. I don't know which African Union state would ever accept its territory being occupied by another country. The support the chairperson has expressed for Israel as an observer status in our union suggests, if we accept this as AU, that we accept infringement of our country's territorial integrity. This can never be accepted by us.
The decision to continue resisting the Israeli regime's attempts to infiltrate African countries is significant and points to the assertiveness of Africans in supporting the liberation of Palestine.
The leaders or the presidents that make decisions at the African Union has been blamed for many times for having sided with the apartheid Israel. But at this moment, when that decision was passed, I think African Union continued to redeem its image among the majority of the Kenyan people, the African people. And we can see that not just a few countries, but the majority of the African people supports the decision to suspend the apartheid Israel, and of course, its representation being forced upon the African Union.
The Zionist regime blamed Iran, Algeria, and South Africa for the expulsion of its diplomat from the African Union summit. Now, the regime claimed that the African Union has been taken hostage by these countries. Let's bring in Mr. Zakir Ahmed. Now, what's your take on these condescending and patronizing